Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This doctrine of suffering and this introduction of Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 is describing to us that the Lord desires to use hardships in our lives as a means to discipline us, as a means to better us, that we might even share in His holiness. And because the Scripture doesn't leave or doesn't give the directions of what the hardship is, He just doesn't identify it, we should understand that all the hardships that we go through, we are to change the perspective of those difficulties. And instead of thinking of them as, woe is me, look what I just lost, look at this difficulty, instead, look at it from a standpoint of a father disciplining his child to try to bring his child into a greater measure of holiness. You know, whether you brought the situation on yourself or not, going through hardship produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control come forth in the midst of difficulties. It says that God is doing this for our own good. Just to think about that, it's such a contrary idea to what the world would tell us. The world would tell us, run away from every difficulty, protect yourself from all things that might possibly be difficult, and the ones that are difficult that you can't avoid, pretend they're not there. Instead, the Scripture says that the Lord is doing this in order that we might share in His holiness. And that, of course, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. I can remember. I totally am thinking back when I was reading through Hebrews for the first time, understanding the passage that I was reading. Maybe I'd read it before, but the first time I was on this passage and I understood what I was reading a little bit, and I read, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, I was like, exactly, right, amen, smart thinking, author of Hebrews. Like, I get that. It doesn't feel pleasant at the time. It feels painful. But there's this promise. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness in your soul, in your spirit, man. It produces a harvest of peace, but not for everybody. It produces these things for those who have been trained by the difficulty. Who allowed the difficulty to instruct their heart, who allowed the difficulty to be the process of purification, who embraced the difficulty instead of run from it, hid from it, tried to avoid it, just took it head on and said, I am going to be one who is trained by this difficulty. Man, I just looked at that and thought, oh, man, that's a different perspective than the one that we all have as our default when it comes to hardship. We just want to run away in the natural and in our own spirit. We just want to run away. It says, but this discipline can prove for our betterment if we're trained by it. Well, I coined a term. And it's one of those I prayed, and you know, I don't know how helpful half these little things are that I share with you guys, but they make me feel good, so it gives me something to preach on. Something I've been saying to the Lord for years. Since I kind of got a little bit of a heads up that the Lord allows difficulties and hardships and suffering, is I just started to use this little term in my prayer life when those difficulties would come, and a difficulty of any sort, I would just say something like this: Lord, you think this is a good idea, so okay. I wouldn't have done it this way. I don't like it. In fact, I just want to go on the record. Heaven, I hate this thing that's happening. But you think it's a good idea. You woke up this morning thinking this was a good plan for my life. So, okay, have your way. And I found that to be just in my own spirit. And you guys know I'm a little goofy. But in my own spirit, that's the best way I know how to just submit myself to it from the start. I just say, okay, here it is. It's from you. You think it's a good idea. I want to be on board with things you like. Things that you think is a good idea, I want to say yes to, Lord. So I'm saying yes to this difficulty. I will embrace it. And I've just found that to be a way, just in my walk, to be able to try to start the process of being trained by the hardship. Well, a few takeaways for tonight. Number one, I want us to recognize that suffering is a normal part of life. So often, we feel so alone, so isolated, so like I'm the only person on the planet who's ever had to go through anything difficult ever. Like a bratty teenager. That's our approach sometimes. And I just think, man, one thing I want us to take away tonight is that hardships, suffering, is a normal part of life. Second thing, come to terms with the fact that suffering, many times, is unavoidable. Not just is it normal, but it's going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it, many times. But it's an unavoidable part of life. Next is that for us to begin to see suffering like we would see the fruit of the Spirit. Like we would look at the fruit of the Spirit and go, those are things I need in my life to make me better. Let's start looking at suffering as part of the picture, part of the strategy that the Lord wants to use to train us. That we would actually be incomplete if we made it through our life with no suffering. We would not be all that we could be. That the Lord desires to use hardships, sufferings, to train us in Him. And then lastly, my hope tonight is that as we talk about this a little bit more, is to identify hopefully some wise ways to navigate through some suffering. I mean, if it's unavoidable, if it's coming, it's a normal part of life, and we're supposed to embrace it, there's probably some right ways to go through it and some wrong ways to go through it. And I just want us to look at some of the right perspectives, right ways to go through suffering. Well, to start off with, let's recognize that Christ suffered in many ways. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the apostle of our faith. He's the one who went ahead of us. He is our model, our role model. And our role model, the Son of God, the man, Jesus Christ, suffered many things, just a few of them. He was misunderstood by his loved ones. It was a suffering he went through. I mean, he grew up. Those were his brothers, those were his parents, those were his neighbors, those were his school age friends. And he was misunderstood by people that he loved dearly. That was suffering for him. He was wrongly accused. So for those of us who have ever experienced that, we're in good company with the author of our faith. He was accused of the craziest stuff. Misrepresented. He lost close friends to death. Remember John the Baptist? That was a buddy of Jesus's, not to mention cousin. I mean, it was a close friend in the spirit. And he lost his friend to death. Jesus had to go through the suffering of losing a close friend, relational friend, watching him die. Well, not watching with his eyes, but experiencing it in his lifetime. A near friend dying. Having a close friend betray him. Judas. The Son of God picks 12 guys. You just figure those 12 guys like ought to be really grateful. And one of them, who was so close, shared his bread, his cup, his plate, his table, his fellowship, his instructions, his blessings. One of the closest ones to him betrayed him. Jesus knows the suffering of betrayal. His main guys fell asleep on him when he needed them the most. I don't even know how to qualify. I don't even know what to call that. It's just a bad deal. But they are your main support team. It is your greatest hour of need. You have one request of them. Just stay up and pray with me. I'm sweating blood over here, guys. Would you just kind of hang in there with me? And they all fall asleep on him. And he has to come. Like we kind of think that's a little cute. That was agony in his soul. Like, man, I just can't get ahead down here, can I? I'm over here sweating blood and in just travail, and I come back and my guys, my support team, my main guys that are supposed to be there to uplift me and strengthen me, they fell asleep on me in my hour of need. He endured God not delivering him, even though God had full power to do so. I mean, how many of those situations? You know God could have just done it this way, and he didn't. Jesus watched his Father do nothing. He suffered through that, knowing his Father had full power, but that his Father didn't act to keep him from the cross. And then he died a painful death. Just look at it and go, okay, well, so suffering is Christianity because suffering is part of Christ. I mean, suffering has a role in our religion here, in our way of life, because the foremost, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ, as he led the way, suffered many things throughout his life. And we'll suffer too. Good news is, for most of us, suffering is the exception and not the rule. Most of us aren't suffering the worst agonies of our existence every day of our life. A lot of times it comes in seasons or attached to experiences or moments or decisions or little kind of time capsules. Normally the intense feeling of suffering, just another little point on there, it's really interesting how resilient God has made the human spirit. Because suffering on day one, even if the thing that caused you to suffer on day one continues on day two and day 10 and day 50, you start to get a little bit of a callus to it. It doesn't hurt quite as bad on day 50 as it did on day one, even though it may still be a reality. It doesn't hurt quite as bad on day 500 as it did on day 50. But there's just something, even if it endures, there's something about the resiliency of the human spirit that God gives us that's just amazing. That's just part of the power of the kingdom of light working within us as Christ rules and reigns it within us. So just, I recognize that this passage in Matthew 10, if we can get that up, I recognize this passage in Matthew 10 is referring to specifically the persecution side of Jesus' suffering. But I just want us to take it to heart that I don't think it's limited to just the persecution. It says this, Jesus talking about this issue of hardship. Matthew 10, 24 says, "The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It's enough for the students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. And if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household?" Here's Jesus saying, if I'm going to suffer, if they're going to accuse me, you better believe there's suffering for you and accusations for you as well. It's enough for you to be like me, that you would be like me and you would suffer in like ways that I suffered. Now, let's also remember, Jesus had some really good moments in life. I mean, the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm sure, was just a great joy as he's watching a couple of his guys get their minds blown as they're seeing his mortal body transfigured before him and Moses and Elijah show up. I mean, that is a pretty glorious moment. Jesus just strolling on the water, Jesus multiplying the food and just kind of winking at his 12 guys. I mean, Jesus had some really sweet moments. So his whole life wasn't suffering, and I think that too is part of the strategy. But there were moments of intense suffering. And I just think that this scripture speaks to more than just the fact of persecution. I think it speaks to, hey, if our teacher suffered many ways, so will we. Normal part of life, 1 Peter 4 talks about it this way. The New Testament teaching often speaking about this issue of suffering. You know the difference between suffering and stubbing your toe? Stubbing your toe makes you cringe for a minute. You go, owie, owie, owie. About the fifth owie, you're starting to like come down. Thermometer level is dropping. Suffering is great difficulty that causes anguish in your soul because of how bad the thing hurts. It could be physical pain, could be emotional, circumstantial. Suffering is super duper upgraded toe stubbing, like perpetual toe stubbing. Suffering is this next level of difficulty and pain that causes your heart to ache. So we're not just talking about getting cut off in traffic, losing, a $5 bill. We're talking about the upgraded difficulties, and it's a normal part of Christianity as the New Testament presents it. Look at this passage in 1 Peter 4. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ." Rejoice that you participate. This line, don't be surprised at your suffering. Don't think of it as odd. Well, you don't know my suffering. Don't think of it as odd. As though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. It's part of life. It's a normal part of the rhythm of being human. You're going to suffer. I don't like it. I think about the sufferings I've gone through, and they did produce, they did produce a lot in me. They were painful, though. No hardship is pleasant at the time. Painful, rather. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. But it's not abnormal. This is normal life for a believer. If you've heard teachings that say, you know, following Jesus means you're never going to have anything bad happen to you, that's just not in your Bible. We're going to suffer, and it's okay. That's the key. To hear that it's normal makes us feel like, oh, well, I guess we'll get through it when it comes. Exactly. To hear that it's normal makes us kind of like settle in and go, oh, well, I guess if it's not so weird then, I guess if this is part of the plan, if this is part of the strategy, then I can handle this. It's just part of the rhythm of life. Exactly. And so Peter says, don't be surprised at painful trials, as though it was strange. Instead, this is a good word to us, instead of looking at your painful trial as, ooh, painful trial, how'd you sneak up on me? Where'd you come from? Get out of here. Instead of looking at it that way, rejoice that you are getting to participate in the sufferings of Christ. Look at this next verse, Colossians 1:4. This is a verse you're not familiar with. It is wild. It's Colossians 1:24 is what it should be. I don't. That one's a little later, I think, Shawnee. Colossians, if you don't have it up there, I'll just read it. But it's Colossians 1:24. This verse is so perspective giving. Colossians 1:24 says this. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Huh? I rejoice in my suffering. I'm going through something, it's difficult. This is Paul. I'm going through a difficulty. I rejoice in my suffering. Okay, why? Connect that dot for me, Paul. Because in that suffering, I make up what Christ is lacking. Wait a second. What is Christ lacking? Christ is lacking that suffering. That one. And by Paul going through that one, or by you going through that one, we're told that we get to make up in our own flesh, fill up in our own flesh what is lacking in Christ's sufferings. I mean, to think that Christ is lacking something and that we could participate in helping fill it up. It's like those bowls in heaven. Those bowls aren't full. We get to participate by filling them up, by praying, worshiping. That's a pretty cool way to be able to partner with eternity. Here's another one. Making up what lacks in Christ's sufferings by rejoicing in the midst of the sufferings that you will go through. Man, I don't know about you, but most of the time when I go through a suffering, I'm just trying to figure out every way to cheat my way out of it. Trying to figure out how to cut corners, speed that process up, get out of that town, whatever I can do to get out of that suffering. And Paul says, yeah, instead, why don't you rejoice that you're in the middle of a suffering that has been assigned to you, and that in the midst of that suffering, you can make up what lacks in the sufferings of Christ. I'll tell you what, I know I said it 3 or 4 times, you probably still don't get it. I don't know that I get it. That's a verse to meditate on. That one right there is one to spend some time sitting in a prayer room somewhere praying, oh God, give me revelation. What in the world does it mean? The lacking, what lacks in Christ's sufferings? It what lack like that there's a bar graph, and that bar graph, the top's up here, and Christ's sufferings are somewhere right here, and that there's a gap between here and total suffering, and somehow in that gap, my sufferings, if I'm trained by it, I can make up what lacks in his sufferings. That's just wild. But you know, we're called the body of Christ. We are allowed to participate in the working, the kingdom, and even the sufferings of Christ. And those sufferings have purpose in us. Sometimes it is God's will Not just permission. Sometimes it's his will that we suffer. 1 Peter 3:17. This is just a trip. Because you got to deal with this. You got to cope with this statement. If it's better, if it's God's will, for you to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. We know it's not God's will. Well, we know that it's not God's plan for us to do bad things and therefore have consequences. Though it probably would be his will that we would experience consequences for doing evil. But here's the crazy part. It says to suffer for doing good. If it's God's will, as though that could be the case, because it can be. For God to wake up in the morning and go, today it's the day for Brad to suffer for doing good. It'd be good for him. I heard the greatest testimony on this. It was so awesome. It was Mike Bickle interacting with a friend of mine. And this friend was talking about all these difficulties that he was facing and all these trials and how it was just so hard back home, and everybody was giving him a hard time because of his decisions to try to follow the Lord in a certain way. And I just loved the perspective that Mike Bickle gave to this individual as this guy's coming to kind of like get counsel, like, what do I do? And and Mike's response was, oh, that's really good for you. This guy went, what are you talking about? He says, oh, that's going to produce so much humility in you. You're going to be such a better man of God as a result of that. That's awesome. No, I'm coming here crying. Like, I want you to help me. Yeah, you're going to do great, bro. You just keep going for it. That's awesome. I am so glad to hear that that's working out that way for you. What? My friend was like floored until he got alone with the Lord and realized that's exactly right. It was God's will that he suffer for doing good in order to produce in him character that he needed in order to be able to do the things that the Lord wanted him to do. Sometimes it's God's will for you to quadruple stub your toe. I'm talking the suffering, the hardship, the difficulty, the tough one. Sometimes it's his will. I don't want to squirm out. Our one-year-old, she is so squirmy right now. We're in worship. That girl is trying to squirm out of Amy's lap 12 times, 12 ways, upside down, sideways. She doesn't care. So squirmy. I don't want to do that in the Father's lap. He's putting me in his lap, called suffering for a season. He's trying to train me. He's trying to instruct me. He's trying to mature me, strengthen me, and I'm just trying to squirm out of it. Man, I don't want to be like that. I just want to go, man, if it's your will, and here it is, you think this is a good idea, this thing, this really awful thing, and you're not only okay with it, you might well be doing it to me, and it's painful. I just want to be trained by it. I just want to embrace it as part of your plan. I just want to say yes to the process. Well, let's look at some ways that it shows up in our life. Got a pretty good plan here, or strategy that suffering does have a place in our lives. I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but these are some ways that suffering shows up, just so we can kind of look at it and go, maybe I've been running away from that one. Sometimes suffering shows up in our physical bodies. Timothy, the second generation apostle, Timothy was often sick. And Paul writes him and says, take a little wine with your water. Don't just drink water because of your frequent illness. We were talking about like one of the main guys that's leading the church. Ill. Yeah. Sick. Paul more or less went blind. I don't know that he got fully blind, but them eyes were given out. God gave Paul a thorn in his flesh. Many believe that it was a physical issue. But my point with this, suffering can come in the form of our physical bodies. It can hit, and I'll tell you, I'm the biggest wuss. When suffering comes in my physical body, I would take emotional pain over physical pain any day. I'm just such a wuss. Emotional pain, I'm like, just get out. It'll be fine. Physical pain, I'm like, make it stop. And then Amy's all having to babysit me and take care of me. I'm a big wuss. I don't like physical pain. Sometimes suffering shows up in our physical bodies, and sometimes it's the Lord that's sending it. And if it's not the Lord sending it, just let's always remember, He could get rid of it in a second if He wanted to. Whatever the it is, He could. Setbacks in life. Oh, these are awful sufferings. You lose your job, your support dries up as an intercessory missionary. Lose a major account at your work. You lose a key person in work or in ministry. And I can remember when the Lord moved a member of our senior leadership team on. It was just a real dear friend. And it was the Lord. I mean, it was clearly the direction that the Lord was doing. It was a major setback for our ministry. And it was the Lord. It was a suffering. And it was God. It's okay. God's into that kind of thing. We have this idea that somehow things are always going to just keep getting better and bigger and stronger and more fun. And that's part of the process. The other part of the process is the Lord bringing a hatchet and chopping your legs off. Yeah, yeah. And then He allows the legs to grow back and you grow up a little bit stronger than you were before. The Lord is not afraid to bring afflictions, difficulties, and cause great pain. The Lord Himself will bring difficulties on the godly in order that we might be trained by them. Sometimes we lose a loved one. You know, we don't need to look at the loss of a loved one. We don't want to enter into self-pity as though something strange were happening to us. People are born and they live, but they pass away. It's part of the process of life. It doesn't mean that it's not real, that it doesn't hurt, but it does mean that we need to not look at that situation in some light that is incorrect, like it's the end of my life, like I'll never be okay. No, you will be. Loss of loved ones is part of the process. We're going to lose loved ones. Many of us already have. And if we haven't, we will. Disappointments. Man, the sufferings of disappointment. You don't get that thing that you've been praying for. I mean, you've been praying. You've been praying for weeks, months, years, and you don't get it. And there's this disappointment in your soul. It's a part of the suffering that the Lord permits in this life. Life circumstances don't work out the way that you were counting on. Well, I moved across, you know, the city or the country or whatever to do this, take this job. I got it, and the first week, the company went bankrupt. And you got this life circumstance you were counting on, this major transition, and a disappointment occurs because it didn't land the way that you thought it was going to. You know, one of the biggest disappointments that I've known? Someone close to you turning away from God. Oh, I hate that. Oh, it's a suffering in the soul that's incomparable to even the loss of a loved one through death. I mean, it's to watch somebody turn away from God. It's just, oh, it's such a disappointment in the heart. It's just so bad. And these sufferings are part of life. It's just real. Difficult seasons. You ever had one of those seasons where it's going on for weeks or months, maybe even a couple of years, where it just doesn't seem like anything's working? Like, oh God, just let this stuff land already. You know, I've been trying, I've been doing the stuff, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do, like I'm doing what the Bible says. It just isn't working right now. Yeah, difficult season. Times when the finances just aren't there. Oh man, they're not panning out the way I need them to. Times when you just feel dry. Maybe you feel unfit. Maybe you feel a lack of confidence. Just times of dryness in your soul. When the grace lifts, but the situation hasn't. You guys been in one of those before? Lord calls you to do something. You're in a situation. There's a grace from the Lord. You're feeling it. You're doing that thing. You're looking over at your friends. Your friend's like, why are you so happy? You're like, man, I got the grace of God on me. You're just going. And then one day, the grace just lifts. And you're like, oh, snap. I'm like everybody else. I'm not feeling the grace anymore. And the situation didn't change yet. Situation's the same as it was yesterday. And the truth of the matter is, yesterday, it was hard. You just didn't know it was hard because there's grace on you. And then that grace just lifts because the Lord's trying to teach you something. He's trying to do something. He's shifting things. Just a difficult season. Yeah, it's part of life. Don't think it odd that you suffer trials of many kinds. It's part of life. Don't run away. Don't get scared. God's not mad at you. It's normal. It's normal. It's like gravity. It's just part of the program. Betrayal, persecution. Those are hard ones. Being misunderstood because of the way you're living. Receiving false accusations against you. Mistreatment for your stance on truth or on righteousness. Being mistreated. Having a family member turn on you in a hurtful way. Betrayal. Someone at work betrays your confidence, gets you in trouble. I thought we said we weren't going to talk about that, bro. Well, yeah, it just kind of came up. Betray your confidence. Friends begin to speak badly about you. It's one thing when somebody you don't know, but when your friends do it. Your friends. Oh, we shared meals together. We were close. We enjoyed each other's fellowship. I told you my stuff. You told me your stuff. I prayed for you. You prayed for me. Oh, and now you're talking bad about me. Gosh, that's just hard. Betrayal. It's tough. It's part of life. It's going to happen to every one of you. All of those who desire to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecutions, difficulties, trials of many kinds. It's just part of how it works down here. I just don't want us to be shocked. Because truth of the matter is, just statistically, probably some of you right now are going through like a really, really hard season. And some of you are like, this message isn't for me. I just got out of my hard season. I am on top of the world right now. Nothing touches me. Don't worry. Your trial's coming. That wheel comes back around again. Good times, medium times, low times. It's just how it is. It's part of the rhythm of life. And for us to know that, it just helps a ton. Well, so let's look at just a few ways to suffer through suffering. One, connect to the Lord in the midst of the suffering. Don't run from Him. Don't accuse Him. If you've got to have that one little intro conversation, God, this is so hard. What is this about? Why are you doing this? I think why are you doing this is a great question to ask. Lord, what is this about? Why are you permitting this? Don't waste the difficulty. You know that difficulty? It's going to happen to you one way or the other. May as well get something out of the thing. The Lord desired to bring you through it. For those who have been trained by it, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. At least be trained by the thing. Don't just waste the suffering. I think it's great to talk to the Lord about the trial. Lord, what's this about? How can I navigate it? What do you want my heart to be, position to be? How much of this did I bring on myself? Most of the time, I found I always have some part why it's so bad. Like it was supposed to be a level 8 bad, but it's like a level 10, level 12 bad. And the 4 difference is my fault. Well, you mouthed off to that guy. Yeah, I did. I mouthed off. That's probably why it's a 12 instead of an 8. Ask the Lord, how much of this is your fault? And many times, the situation was something you couldn't avoid. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't anything you could do. Ask the Lord, what's He doing? Lord, what do you desire for me? I'll tell you this. For those of you who are really trying to grow in hearing the voice of the Lord, I want to encourage you to try to hear the voice of the Lord in a very focused way in the midst of your trials. Open up to Galatians. Look at the 9 fruit of the Spirit, and then look up at God and go, this trial, which ones are you after? Which ones? And let Him highlight, because I think He'll speak every time. Oh, this one I'm trying to do patience, Brad. Yeah, I was hoping it was joy, because patience is the tough one. Okay, all right, okay. The next trial, what about this one? It's patience again, Brad. No! Open up to Galatians. Look at those fruit of the Spirit. I bet you the Holy Spirit will be willing to speak to you every single trial. Which ones are you after? What are you trying to produce in me? What do you want to do through this? How can I walk out of this thing a better man, better woman? What can I do? I bet you the Lord will be willing to speak every single time on that one. Connecting it to the Lord. Second part, getting an eternal perspective. You know, We're just so temporal thinking. It's helpful, super duper helpful, to think about the following concept on a regular basis. Every human being who has ever given life, I'm talking two cells come together, every human being will live forever somewhere. Everyone will live forever. There's no end of days. Not 100 years, not 10,000 years, not a billion years. Every human being will live forever, either in hell or in the presence of the Lord in His coming kingdom. Everyone will. And for those of us who have given our lives to Jesus and told Jesus that we're willing to serve Him and that we want His righteousness because we know we could never do it on our own. For those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, as so many of you have, give your life to Him, that your life is no longer your own, that you've been bought with a price, and you submit your life to Jesus, Jesus says, you are going to live with me forever. And for those who have not made that decision, I want to challenge you to think about it. Because the Lord desires your soul, and until you give it to Him, you still belong to hell forever. But the Lord desires each one of our hearts. And for those of us who've given our lives to the Lord, we're followers of Jesus, we're going to live forever, and we need to understand the little perspective point on this. 80 years on the earth, if you get that long, is a blink. So let's pretend every day you got ran over by one of them big dump trucks, just every day, back over you, back over you, back over you for 80 years. You're going to live forever with a resurrected body in glory and power. A perfect mind, a perfect body, you will live in perfection forever. So if terrible things happen to you your whole life here, so what? You're going to live forever. 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 And it won't be like that. Forever. It's a blink. It's not even a blink. It's a half a blink. It's somebody thinking about a blink. You're going to live forever. So let's read this passage. Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though inwardly we're wasting away, or outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed daily. For our light and momentary troubles, Paul's writing this from prison. He's been beaten and stoned. He's been maligned, mistreated. He's been betrayed and forgotten. He's gone through every measure of difficulty you can possibly imagine, worse than you and me. And he says, these light and momentary afflictions. You know, being stoned. Light. Momentary. I mean, it was over in like 20 minutes. And I got up and brushed myself off. These light and momentary afflictions. Just little. These little sufferings. These little things. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since the things that we can see are temporary, but what is unseen, the work that that's producing in me, the reward that I will receive as a result, the glory, the eternal glory that's being produced in me as I go through these sufferings, since that eternal glory is of such might and strength, that which is unseen, it's eternal. So, you know, we're just going to make it through these light and momentary afflictions. You know, I think he wasn't being sarcastic. I think the man had a revelation. I think he understood eternity better than we do. And so when he thought about the worst thing that happened to him that week, that month, that decade, he just thought, you know, it's a light and momentary affliction. I'm going to live for a billion years times a gazillion years. Quite a long time. And I'm going to live with eternal glory in me that was being produced in the midst of that momentary affliction called losing my job, called persecution, called lack of finances, called someone betrayed you, called difficulty. It's light, it's momentary. And what is being produced in us as a result, if we let it do its work, don't waste your troubles, Don't waste the trial. Don't waste the suffering by complaining all the way through it, just waiting for the clock to run out. Don't waste it. If you allow it to have its work in you, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. It will produce eternal glory that far outweighs all of it. But you got to let it do its work in you. You know, I the most lost person can say this. This too shall pass. I think I learned that one from my dad. This ain't going to be like this all the time. This too will pass. Just hang in there. Oh, I remember puberty. Dude, the pimples all over my head. The sufferings I had to go through. My parents just like, this will pass. You'll be okay. No, you don't understand. I'm a pizza face. And the Lord's like, this will pass. You'll be okay. You'll get through this. The most difficult things, they will pass. You know, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Just give it some time. This part of the perspective of how we suffer through suffering, how we get through it, is just knowing it's going to last a blip. I mean, whatever the time frame is, it's got a clock attached to it. It doesn't go on forever. It's going to go away. This current suffering, it will end. It doesn't last forever. Having a positive attitude all the way through it, just thinking about what the New Testament continually says about whatever we do, whether word or deed, do it all in and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even our suffering. Father, going through this trial, I commit it to you, and I'm going to live through this trial unto Jesus. I'm going to live through this trial as one serving Jesus. I'm going to give thanks to you all the way through it. I'm going to do it all in the name of Jesus. Even this trial, even this suffering, I'm going to get through it. I'm not going to let this suffering be a blemish on my report card. Well, doing pretty good there, pretty good. Ooh, that suffering season. Ooh, we weren't sure they were going to even make it. Did you see how much they were saying this and doing that and backsliding there? Let's just press through the suffering. Let's just seek God. In the midst of have a positive attitude and take on that trial in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just keep pressing through. And pressing on. This is the last admonition I have for you tonight. Short message tonight. Is pressing on. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Paul, and I think Paul's got just such a great perspective because he's experienced a lot of really cool things. Heavenly encounters. Healings. All sorts of miracles, raising people from the dead. He's seen some cool stuff. He's also seen some trials, difficulties, imprisonments, being wronged, people throwing stuff at him, difficulties. I mean, he's gone through it. And he says this. He says, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain on towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Just press through the trial. Press through. Don't pretend it's not there because it's real. Don't avoid it. Don't kick and scream the whole way. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing through. You'll get through it. You'll come out stronger as a result on the other end. All those that go through training, the difficulty of that training, the military training, just some of the stories heard from Landon and others. Intense. So glad they got to go through that difficult stuff because I wouldn't want them going through wuss camp and then throw them out there in the battlefield and hope that they make it. You got to go through difficult training. You'll make it. Just press on. Set your mind heavenward. Know that God does not desire for this trial to kill you. This trial is not meant to destroy you. This trial is meant to refine you. This trial is part of the Lord's purposes that He wants you to learn what it is to set yourself and press through the trial. Press through it. And again, for those of you who all things are well right now, we'll have this podcast available online for a while. And you may need it. Go back and listen to it. Everybody stand. I want to pray for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.